Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to get into tonight a verse-by-verse study. I haven't done one of those in a little while, me personally, and I really want to dive in to a book that I really love out of Scripture, and I think it's going to help us with our vision this year. And I want to break into a study of Colossians. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to open that up to Colossians, I'm really just setting it up tonight. So I'll be visiting a couple of verses from there, but I've got to set this up right for us to understand. I'm always amazed at how people will take Scripture out of context, and then they'll use it in a way that was never God's heart for it to be used because they don't understand the context that it was in. And so we need to understand the context of what was happening here. When you're reading a personal letter, you need to know some things about how personal that is. And we have doctrinal foul-ups all the time because of things that we don't understand the context it was written in. And if you don't know who the letter was to, a little about what is being said, in context of what is being said, you can mess up the content of the letter. And so we're going to talk from the book of Colossians, but understand this is a letter. It's a letter that was written. We're reading a letter that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And we need to look at some of history to understand that. Now, Paul is questioned. He's got some questions that were being addressed that was needed at the church at the time, because there were some things happening and Paul knew about these and he was addressing some questions. I want to give you those questions to start with tonight. The first question: do heavenly bodies have any influence over our lives? Now, these are questions that were being asked at the time, but you have to, in knowing the context, you need to know that that's still a question that we face every day. Do heavenly bodies, well, what does that mean? Horoscopes. Let me just tell you, horoscopes are a big deal in society. You may go, well, not to me. You don't have to look very far in a circle of life to know people who really believe in horoscopes. And we don't know we don't really know what to say about it, but the Bible gives some real clear understanding of that. The Bible is so relevant today with what we're dealing with because they've already dealt with it. You know, somewhere around 56 million newspapers are purchased daily worldwide. Now, I know that we're in a day and age that newspapers aren't the only place people are getting horoscopes, and I couldn't find the figures. I was trying to look them up, but the statistics on people who look at horoscopes on the internet or social media, I'm sure it would blow your mind if you could get the statistics of that. But it has done a lot. In the U.S., of the astrological data that is gathered to put a horoscope together, 60 to 70% of these newspapers have that in there, and the percentage of people that read them is still in the 80% mark. So it's getting out there a lot. Now, you might say, well, I don't take a newspaper. Well, you don't have to look very far, and people will tell others what sign they are. According to, well, let me just ask, how many of you know what your sign is astrologically? Okay, good. I'm talking about something that everybody understands, that people know what that is. Now, our younger generation may not, but it's not something that's forgotten in our world. So I just want to make sure we're getting that. We live in a day where people, they wonder, do the heavenly bodies, when lined up in certain positions, have any influence in our lives? So that's a question. Second question. Is there any relationship between our diet, what we eat, and spiritual living, or God's will being accomplished based on what we eat? Do certain types of food make you more line up with God? If I eat this, I'm gonna be, you might go, well, good grief, Pastor. You would not believe the amount of people who believe that. I've seen it time and time again. Third question. Do Eastern religions have anything to offer the Christians? Do Eastern religions have anything to offer Christianity? So look through these questions. It seems unbelievable to me that this was written in 60 AD. And we're still dealing with these same questions today. The Bible's real, real clear about being practical for today's living and being applicable for today's living. The devil, I just want you to know, has no new tricks. The same problems they faced back then, same questions that we're facing today. And if he can keep the church messed up in these questions and not being able to think right or not being able to answer them, if he can keep the church not being able to have a biblical understanding, then we'll not be able to this year accomplish the vision that God's placed at Christian Ministries Church. See, if we're wanting God to move in our lives and we're wanting him to have the right influence, then we've got to make sure that the influences are coming from him. And we got to know what the Bible says. Colossians, this city is one of the cities that is 100 miles inland from the city of Ephesus. Now, a lot of background here. In Colossians 4:13, Laodicea and Hierapolis are both addressed also in this letter. In verse 16, chapter 4, it says, make sure it also is read to the Laodiceans. So I'm giving some background about what's happening here. These churches were obviously sharing information with each other. Philippians, Corinthians, or Ephesians, we go to Acts and we can read that their beginnings were all in Acts recorded, but you can't find Colossians church in Acts. Now, for those of you Bible scholars out there, this is something that if you're diving in and you're wanting to get kind of deep on an understanding of some of the New Testament and the letters that Paul wrote, this is one of the three he wrote from prison. He heard about their church, Paul did, at Colossae, and he was encouraged to write them and impart to them as he heard all that was going on there. These people didn't even know Paul. But Paul's writing them a letter. Chapter 1, verse 4. And I will get to the verse by verse. Keep in mind, I'm just setting this up. So you'll be going, well, he's jumping all over the place. You're right, I am. Chapter 1, verse 4. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people. See, Paul says, I've heard about you guys. Heard that you love Jesus. Verse 9. We have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. See, He's heard about them. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 1. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. Paul didn't know them, but he agonized over them. I was just thinking about that, and I was reminded of when Alvin was here on Sunday. For those of you that were able to make it with the weather on Sunday, Alvin was talking about a young lady that was 16 years old, and he told the story that her dad had been in a gang and been killed, and her mom had also passed, and he was showing a picture of this 16-year-old girl, and they said that they called him when there was no place for this girl to go as a baby. And he took her to her aunt's house, and the aunt said, we don't want her. And Alvin took this young child and took it to one of the pastors of one of the six congregations that are represented there in Honduras, Christian Ministries churches. And he took them there and he said, will you raise her? And they did. And that picture is her smiling at 16 years old and has this beautiful glow about her because she had just graduated from beauty school and had been raised in a home that loved the Lord. And I just thought, wow, I watched that and I agonized over her life. I didn't know her, but I'd heard enough about her to feel connected. And I sat in my seat on Sunday, and I remember tears just coming down my face as Alvin was talking about this young lady. Well, how does that happen? Because we see the need for God in people's lives of people we don't even know. But as you hear about them, you have a heart. I just think that's where Paul was. Paul was agonizing over these people, and he really cared. I mean, he says there in chapter 2, verse, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea. It was a church in Colossae, the Colossian church. It was a church that was an outgrowth of his 3 years in Ephesus. See, Paul started his church and really been a part of the church in Ephesus. And when you study this, you can understand some things during Paul's ministry at Ephesus. I just love the outflow of him putting into people's lives. And then he's hearing about the extension of someone he's never met because of a work that he had started. That's got to be our heart. As Christian people, that we hear about someone who we administered at one point, and then we find out what they're doing somewhere else, and we're learning about the fruit of that. See, there was two men that were saved in Ephesus. Epaphras and Philemon. They were both saved. And in chapter 1, verse 7, Epaphras saved, and evidently he goes and helps start this church. He says, you learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He's told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. He has went and visited Paul, Epaphras had, and out of that meeting that Epaphras had with Paul came this letter. I just really want you to get this in the introduction. Paul heard about them and then wrote them. He saw it was that significant. He had been putting into their life, and then they had put into Epaphras' life. Epaphras had put into their life, and then Paul writes them a letter based on what Epaphras told them. Now, Philemon, verse 2, says that he had the church meeting in his house. Archippus and Philemon was Philemon's son, and they pastored this church that we're going to be reading about. Now, the church is about 5 years old, and you got to know it's meeting in their house. I am all about a church starting in a home. That's how this church started. Church meeting in a house, they've been doing it for 5 years. And so as we set this up, you need to understand that Paul's trying to help them. And Paul was a prisoner in Rome at the time, and Onesimus was a runaway slave, and he'd worked for Philemon, and Paul leads Onesimus to the Lord, and Paul's writing Philemon to ask him to receive him back as a brother in Christ to help. And about this time, Epaphras shows up in Rome to get some help from Paul, and Paul writes this letter to refute some of the teachings that the church was starting to deal with, and they needed help. All these people are bringing in all this stuff, and we needed some help. Have you ever needed some help? That's why I like Colossians, because Colossians addresses some help for the church. And so as we dive in, we know that Paul had a heart to help out the church. Epaphras stays with Paul, but Paul sends the letter back to Colossae. The heresy that was going on was threatening the church. People were getting caught up in it because they weren't doctrinally sound. Eastern philosophy and Jewish legalism are big words. And when you combine the two, you get this word, Gnosticism. You ever heard that word? Big word. But Gnosticism, what's that mean? It's a man-made teaching of these two things. It's a man-made teaching of Eastern philosophy and Jewish legalism. Now, chapter 2, verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Paul is addressing this and he's saying, okay, you guys have been putting together some stuff on your own and it's high sounding nonsense. I just turn on the news and I'm like, that's high sounding nonsense. I can't help it, but I turn it on and they're talking. I'm like, that's high sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking. Now he says also the spiritual powers of this world, which are demonic. The human powers of this world rather than from Christ. So Paul's addressing this and the questions that they were asking. And what is evil? Where does it originate? Gnosticism came up with this thought. All of matter is evil. Gnosticism says all matter is evil. So everything is evil. And since God can't come into contact with evil, he can't come into contact with this world. Now let's answer this first question. Since God can't come into contact with evils, he can't come into contact with the world, then God has to obviously use the stars and the moons and the planets, and he arranges them in certain ways to connect to the world. That's Gnosticism. That's how all this comes together. The date you're born determines on how God deals with an evil world and your part in it. Now, you're a Christian and don't believe any of that high-sounding nonsense. So don't ever read a horoscope and give it any validity. See, that's not, well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. And it's important to know that and to know the importance of that. We know this isn't biblical at all. And we're dealing with people all over who get up and start their day reading horoscopes. And that's the root of this thing. Now we know that's weird. We know that's wrong. But oftentimes we don't know why. So we got to look and see what a biblical teaching on horoscope is. And that's what Paul's writing to refute and to correct these ideas and set God's people straight. And he's not here to get onto them. He's here to build them up. He's saying, here, let me help you with this. So don't sit here and be beat up with this. Be empowered by it. Be empowered. Colossians 1:16. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Him would be Jesus. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. God, church, is not separated from this world. And right there, you can write that down. He doesn't have to have the planets come into a certain alignment to have a relationship with us. All things were created by him. God's not off limits. God's here with each of us, and he's as close as the mention of his name. We're the ones that are turning and running. He's not gone anywhere. He's here. Colossians 2 verse 10, so you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. There is not an authority or a power that Christ is not the head of. So there's not a spiritual power. There's nothing in the unseen world that can win a battle with Jesus. Chapter 2 verse 15, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. There is not a battle going on in the spiritual realm of good and evil that could go either way. I'm not saying there's not a battle, but it's not in question of which way it can go. God wins. The battle of evil versus good, it could go either way. No, you have the authority for it to go God's way. Chapter 2, verse 11. When you come to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Once again, we're talking about Jewish legalism here and Gnosticism and what's happening. The foundation of Christianity doctrinally, we can't mess this up. God is the winner. He's overall. And they'd started teaching that circumcision makes one spiritual. And Paul said, whoa. Let me just tell you, when you came to Christ, you were, and it's in quotations, so we might do this, you were circumcised. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. But not physically. Christ performed it spiritually for your life. It's done by Christ now. And then in dietary concerns, chapter 2, verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. I love this. All these things we read in the Old Testament are a shadow of what's to come. Christ is the fulfillment of these things. He fulfilled the dietary laws. He fulfilled the circumcision laws. And we need to understand that now it's a matter of heart. In the spirit, he did things that we used to have to do in the flesh. He did in the spirit. See, done in the flesh to show us what would be done in the spirit, but he's showing how to move from law to grace. I just love this, and I get all pumped up about it. Here's why. I have been to the Middle East. I've been to Jerusalem, and I have flown on, what was the name of that? I forget the name of it. But what it amounts to is it's a Jewish airline. And on this airline, if you're to ever go to the Holy Land, everything over there has a kosher menu and then non-kosher. But when we would stay in certain hotels, all they served was kosher. And it's sad what they're missing. And I just wanted, what do you do with this scripture here? I want not to make fun of God's people. Please hear me. But I want you to know that these three questions are still plaguing the world, and they're denying the power of Jesus every time they head that direction, because it's just Gnosticism glorified. Paul's trying to preach at this time, and he's trying to tell us today, Jesus is not just one of many gods and many rulers. There was the moon god, there was the sun god, there was all these gods. And Paul's trying to explain all this, and he's trying to say Jesus on the cross won all victory. He is the only one and true God. To sum all this up, Gnosticism keeps God very far away. You say, Pastor, why are we talking about these three questions? Here's why. Because there's a whole bunch more questions we'll answer in this, but these are three questions that was plaguing the church at Colossae, and he was trying to deal with it. He's trying to say, listen, I can't be losing God's people to a worldview. I can't be losing God's people to high-sounding nonsense and human philosophies and thinking. I am concerned about it, and here's why. Because this year we're going to create a place, and if we don't understand the heart of God and what he did to win us to him, what he did to approach us, to have us a part of what he's doing, if we don't get that, we're not going to work really hard on creating a place for him. We're going to get caught up on what everybody else thinks and what everybody else says. See, there are demonic forces, yes, but they shouldn't be a constant threat to a Christian sold out to the Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor, I don't know that I believe that. They're only going to take ground when we don't take Jesus. See, they can only have what you don't take authority over them and give them. They only have what you give them. Paul's saying Christianity allows God to be very near. And I just don't want God's people thinking that God's far out there and you can't get him, because he is available and he's very near. And that's what Paul's saying. It's ours. God is, he's very close to you and I, and we've been given access and we've been given authority, and we're acting like we don't have that. And I want to do all that I can through the book of Colossians and the study here to know that we have access. The book to Ephesus and the book of Colossians, these books, they're letters. They were wrote at the same time by Paul in the same prison. Ephesians and Colossians have some great parallels. If you're going to read through these over the next few weeks as we're talking about them, they have great parallels. Read them both. Ephesians is church, and the body of Christ is very emphasized what they're doing. But the reason I'm going to Colossians is because Christ and the head of the body is emphasized, and we've got to get the right view of the head so we as the body will then want to operate correctly. See, we want to see him correctly so that we can create a place correctly. The Lord spoke to us at the ministries retreat. And a very powerful thing was said. There is a difference between creating a place and making a place. I believe I've got that right. I'm looking. There's a difference between creating a place and making a place. A lot of people are just trying to make a place for God in their life. And they're not creating a place for him to be the head. So they don't understand what the headship is. They don't understand who he is. I'm going to teach more on that later. In this short letter, Paul uses the word all 30 times. And the reason he's using the word all is because God needs to be all the time. But we can see God, he's all on Sunday mornings. Wow, what a great move of God. What about Friday night in your entertainment? What about when you're getting up and you're going to work? Is he all the time? And so he used this word 30 different times. And here's the main theme of Colossians. It's the preeminence of Jesus. What's that mean? It means he's above all. The preeminence of Jesus, he's complete. He's above and before all others. He's the whole deal. He's all that matters. He's supreme and he's superior. And we've got to have that mindset if we're going to devote our lives to Christianity. Chapter 1, verse 18, he is the head and in first place in all things. Chapter 3, verse 11, Christ is all that matters. Chapter 2, verse 10, you are complete in him. You start thinking for a second, my life is just not complete. My life is just not complete. And you start looking for things in life to complete your life, you're going to be frustrated. Jesus is all that matters, and your completeness only will come in him. Only come in him. And so I think that if we can get that out of this study, then you'll always understand Christianity can be a completed work of Jesus. People are looking for the marriage to complete them. The marriage will never complete you. Only the marriage union between the church and Christ. See, that symbolicness of the marriage. And I understand the marriage is to be a reflection of that. But when we get that out of order, we're going to be miserable in our marriage. You're not going to have the fullness of God until he is all in all. We got to get it. He did a completed work. Lots of people going to church and just adding to their list of good things to do. Well, that's a good thing to do. I go to church. That's a good thing to do. Not understanding that Jesus washes away and all things are gone and you're born again. And well, I'm a new creature. I'm a new man. And the old things are passed away. And those old things that are passed away, I'm going to live in the newness of Jesus. And that's not just on church on Sunday morning. But would I want to be anywhere else? No. And I got to remind myself of that at times. Because I understand that I'm battling the flesh that might want to come up. And I got to shove it back down. It's not that we are going to try to do good and follow some rules. Jesus comes in and should change everything for you. The devil has no authority in your life. The devil has to flee at the name of Jesus. We live in such a pluralistic society that says it doesn't matter what religion you go to or what church you go to, just go to one. And you've heard me say, if you can't go and share vision here, go to a church you can. But you better make sure that God is all. Because that's what's got to be taught. A pluralistic society says go and do whatever you want. As long as you believe something, just have a good life. A good life only comes when Jesus is all. That's the only way it comes. What you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. And let me just take that one more word further. It also determines how you behave. Colossians can be taught a lot and should be taught a lot to young people. What you believe determines how you behave. I understand why two-year-olds behave like terrible twos, two-year-olds, and why we've got to be their authority, because they don't understand who Jesus is yet. But when you come to the point of understanding who Jesus is, then we've got to teach them to a place that Jesus becomes how they live. So it's important that our young people, that's why I love Courtney teaching our young people. Countless young people been in her class come to know Jesus. How does that happen? It happens because she sold out to these young people knowing that Jesus has to be first. He's the first. When you believe that, then it starts determining how you behave. And I watch these young kids that know Jesus now following the leader, Courtney, from, she don't know I'm coming around the corner, and I come around the corner and there's all these young people just following her in a little line. And they're loving every part of it. And I couldn't be more, why are they behaving like that? Oh, because Courtney will whip the fire out of it. No. It's not an authority that she's having to walk in. It's an excitement about her Lord and Savior. Courtney loves Jesus, and she loves to tell the kids about Jesus. And so as they do that, then all of a sudden, how you behave starts being about how Jesus would want you to behave. I don't know if you're getting it. We war about what people believe in God. Wars start because of a belief system. You can ask anybody in the military, though. If you don't have sound doctrine and your doctrine determines how you live, then we've got trouble. What's going on in the United States and why we've got two sides that have become totally opposed to each other in every area is because we don't have a doctrine that unites us in what we believe. So one believes this and the other believes this. And because truth is all relative in our society and we don't have the Bible as the standard, I understand that we can read the Bible and kind of get this out of one and get this. I don't see it quite like that. I've seen a few of that, but it still brings us close enough that we can walk forward in unity. But when you take the Bible out, you take a belief system out. People from the East, here's what they think. If I kill a Westerner, then I'll immediately go to the ultimate heaven. You wonder why they want to kill you. It's because their belief determines how they behave and how they operate. If we don't have sound doctrine, where are we going to end up? Why are kids leaving the church at 18? Because they don't have sound doctrine. Colossians has to be. It has to be studied so we have a sound understanding of Jesus. I need a full understanding of the message of the gospel. Jesus is not just one of many good choices. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. See, and so what we believe determines everything about us. All right, are we ready to get started? We'll do that next week. Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.